Welcome, everybody, to Grace Chapel. Member of the Fisherman Ministry out here in far west Texas. Thank you for joining us this morning. Let us praise and worship the Lord.
The Spirit of the Lord moves in my heart. I will sing like David sang. When the Spirit of the Lord moves in my heart, I will sing like David sang.
Dear Lord, we just thank you for bringing us all together again. We thank you for being the way for us to be able to be with you. We pray that these words will increase our faith, increase our strength, increase our trust so that we can walk forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Lord, give the Lord a cheer. Well, it's actually been an interesting week. And there's been quite a few things that have popped into my head. Not all of them good, of course. But one of the things has kind of stemmed from the last few weeks of what we've been discussing and what others have been discussing online. We call ourselves Christians. The Lord has given us instructions and examples of what it takes to be that Christian. And a few things have popped up. Brotherly love, kindness, meekness, long-suffering, all great words. Most are hard, if not impossible, to practice at times because our flesh gets in the way. One thing is the way we react if somebody does us wrong, or what we think somebody has done us wrong. And if we go over into Matthew, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but I'm going to point it out because it's in the Bible twice. And in Matthew 5:44, the Lord says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despisefully use you and persecute you." When people turn around and they act like you're your friend and things like that, and then they turn around when you're not around and they speak poorly of you, that's despitefully using you. But you can't take that to heart. You should not get angry with those people. You should do what it says there, which is pray for them. That's not a natural thing for our flesh. It's not a natural thing for our mind most of the time. But as we draw closer to the Lord, it becomes easier to do these things. But it's still a struggle. It's always going to be a struggle in this flesh. Also in Luke, it's repeated again in Luke 6:27, "But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you." There's our second witness. What we do, what we say, what we think, and what we pray defines who we are. And for us to reflect that we are Christians, then we must follow the words in Matthew and Luke. Love your enemies. Yeah, somebody said that one time, John. Keep your friends close. Keep your enemies closer. But love your enemies. Pray for them. And maybe by your example, they will turn around at one time or another and want to find out why you are the way you are. You know, they flip you off, you just laugh. Just smile at them. Whatever. We know what whatever means, right? We won't repeat that. But you might make them curious enough to seek out what you know. It may bring an opportunity to witness to them. So you can tell them that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. And my sins. And your sins. Now and forever.
Praise the Lord. Well, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Oh, come on. Wake up. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
There you go. I like that. Well, I hope everybody out there is having a good holiday weekend. I know a lot of folks have, you know, the day off coming up, and I hope that everybody out there enjoys it. I wanted to start reading today over in Matthew. Chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now many people do not receive because they're continually asking and never believing. It's kind of, I'm just going to swing this out of my way. Now I can see you guys. He who is asking is receiving. And he who is seeking is finding. And he who is knocking is having that door opened unto them. The Bible doesn't say ask and you won't receive. Ask and I might think about it. Ask and maybe in the great by and by we'll talk. Ask and ye shall receive. You need to believe that asking is receiving, that seeking is finding, that knocking and that door will be open. When are we going to see people walking as they walked back in the book of Acts? When are we going to start seeing the power of God in our lives and the lives around us? I think it's pretty cool seeing what's happening with Lawrence over there in Africa. Amen, guys? I mean, pretty cool stuff. Why aren't we seeing that here? Why aren't we seeing that in Vermont, South Carolina, Texas, Minnesota, Colorado? I mean, wherever. We've got to start seeing that. It's going to happen when people say, Lord, you're God. I know that you're God. And believe him. Move forward in his word. And I want each of you that are listening to come into a place where you have a relationship with God, where you know that your prayers are answered because he promised. Turn over to Hebrews 11. I read chapter 11 last night and finished it this morning. Great chapter. It's funny. I read a chapter of the Bible and I say, oh, this is my favorite chapter. And then I read another chapter. It's like, oh, this is my favorite chapter. But my most recent favorite chapter is Hebrews 11. So I encourage all of you to go through it, but I just want to touch on one verse. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith makes its request known unto God and claims that which he gives you. As you have faith, God will meet you there. You must come to a place where you wholeheartedly surrender yourself, where you no longer refer to the things that you can do, and you rely solely on him. I know that there's at least two ways you can get there. One is the easy way, and the other way is the hard way, right? The easy way is believe and receive. The hard way is wait until your life's a pile of ashes and you're just about run out of hope. You feel helpless and you're beaten down and you got no place else to turn but to him. Whichever way it works out in your life, I mean, praise God, at least you came to him. I recommend the easy way. Now, as you move forward, you got to be prepared that the folks out there in the world, they're going to talk ill of you. They're going to slander you. They're going to say bad things. You're going to be despised in the eyes of the world. And this is some of what Bob was touching about earlier. But you got to put that off. You got to trust the Lord. He will cause you to bring forth fruit. He will cause his glory to be seen through you, so long as you don't rest in yourself and you put all your faith in him. all your faith in God and His Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17, I'm going to paraphrase it, or try to say it from memory. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And if we could believe half as much as we ask, we would receive.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to start today in Romans chapter 8. And I was going to start with verse 4, but I'm going to start with verse 1. Scott, you're not doing anything. Why don't you read it? I catch him off guard there.
Caught him without a microphone. No microphone. Get on my lap.
See, the Bible says be instant in season and out of season.
Well, I'm ready.
There you go.
Chapter 8, verse 1.
Yep.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
All right, we'll stop here for a minute. We've been hearing a lot of ministers today, for the last few weeks, talk on this subject. And a couple times, I just want to yell. I want to say, I would that you had what I have and more than what I have. Because I have learned, it's taken a while, but I've learned how to walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. They were talking about faith today, and I, you know, they kept talking around it. And I finally, in the chat room, I said, what's faith for? They come up with all these answers, but it's really simple. Faith is for one thing, to believe God. That's what God gave us faith. He gives all men a measure of faith. Amen? But what do you do with it? He gave it to you so you could believe Him. Because without faith, it's impossible to believe God or please God. So he gives you that which you can use to please him. Amen?
Amen.
I speak as a man. If the Lord gives me a wife, I would hope he gives her to me to please me. Amen? What good is a wife who does not want to please her husband? She's no good at all. Get rid of her. Get one that will. I speak as a man, but I speak a spiritual truth. If we belong to God and we're not willing to please him, what does he need us for? Then he will cut us off and he will find those who will please him. Going back to the vine, the branch that doesn't produce fruit is cut off and cast into the fire. What difference is that than what I said about wife? God gave us a wife, gave Adam a wife as a helpmeet. If I'm serving God and the wife is serving me, then as a unit, we please God. But if I'm trying to serve God and fighting with a wife all the time, then how can I serve God? Now there may be some women out there don't want to hear this. I don't care if you don't want to hear it. This is truth. If we are to please God, then we take that which God gives us, which is faith, and we use it. And it's used to believe him. Read the next verse.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
The law of sin and death is what's in this body. The result for the wages of sin are death. The body's dying. It's going to die. You can believe what you want. It's going to die. And the older you get, the more that truth comes to bear. When you're young, you can't conceive of it. When you get older, you begin to get maybe there's some truth in this. There's a reason why the military picks kids 18 years old. They're too stupid to realize they can get killed. You go back in the Bible, and you look at the men in the military, they're all over 30. They figured they'd reach their prime at 40 and 45. They had brains. I was talking to somebody the other day about all kids are brain damaged. Yeah, all kids are brain damaged. I think it's because of the squishing of the head and all when they come out, you know. And it doesn't seem to pop in right and get back to normal till they hit about 30 years old. Some a little earlier. Some like me a little later. I think it was 40 years old before I got it. But as you grow in the Lord, as you get older in the Lord, you begin to realize that there's a finality with this body. But if you're fortunate, God gives you the understanding that there's not a finality with the soul. The body dies, but the soul lives forever. Your choice is, what address are you going to move to when you move out of this body? Are you going to go to 777 Glory Lane or 666 It Stinks to Be You Boulevard? Are you going to move and live in Christ in heaven in a new body? Or are you going to get a resurrected, putrefied body and live in hell and burn in fire? It's your choice. He's given you what you need. He's given you a measure of faith. You have to take that faith and point it in the right direction. You can point it to God in heaven to believe His word, or you can believe it, use it to believe the flesh. Read verse 3.
For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh.
Keep going.
That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
All right. The law couldn't save me. It ends up convicting me. Now I'm going to try to make it short. Try to make it simple. Like a preacher said to me one day, said, Richard, get the hay out of the hayloft, put it on the ground where cows can eat it. I was trying to be ecclesiastical and do all that fancy talk. I found out it works a lot better to just talk plain. To be carnally minded is to look at the natural and judge by the natural. If I look at myself in a mirror, I'm not impressed. Somebody said to me, how come you keep turning down your invitations to go overseas and preach in all these nations that you've had invitations? And I said, because I'm no dummy. I know that the minute I get off that airplane and walk down those steps, those that come to meet me will take one look at me and say, we made a mistake. Because I don't look like what the world wants to see in a preacher. I look in a mirror, I don't like what I see. But if I look in Christ, if I look in Jesus, and I see me through the cloud of the grace of God, and by His blood and His mercy, then I can rejoice and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I can please You, Lord. I can do all things in You, Lord. Because it is not I in this body of flesh and death, but it is You in the Spirit with the Father, together with my spirit, that has given me new life, that lets me live in You, that does all things that You command me to do. To be carnally minded is to judge yourself according to the flesh. If I judge myself according to the flesh, all I can say is guilty, 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 guilty. But if I judge myself by the Spirit of God, by the covering of the blood that is on the doorposts and lintels, by the cloud of grace, then I can say righteous, righteous, righteous. Do I believe God? and what he says? Or do I believe the flesh and what it says? You, I of those that are listening, whether it be here in the chapel or on the line, on the internet, or on a tape, however you hear this, most of you want to walk the way God wants you to walk. Most of you want to say to the sick, be healed, rise up and walk, receive thy sight, be delivered of that cancer, whatever it may be. Most of you want to be able to do that. You cannot do it if you judge yourself according to the flesh. You cannot do it if you walk in a carnal mind. But if you can lay that aside, take that faith that God has given you and bring it together and focus that faith on believing God, then truly you can do all things in Christ Jesus that will strengthen you. When you see sickness, it'll flee from you. When you see devils, they will tremble. Satan attacks me constantly, and I laugh at him. He's tried to take my voice for almost as long as I've known Ann. At least since the last 20, 25 years. But he hadn't taken it yet, and he ain't going to. He's not going to, because I'm putting my trust in God. I'm putting my trust in Jesus. I'm putting my trust in his power. I'm putting my trust in his blood. I'm putting my trust in his spirit. And I'm not going to accept anything else but yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And bless you, Lord. That's what I'm going to accept. Let the carcass die. I don't care. But I'll still be alive. I want you to see and understand that the righteousness of the law will not help you. Judging yourself by the law, or seeking to live by the law, or seeking to live as the world wants to see you live, will not save you and will not get the job done. That's carnal. That's walking after the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What are the things of the Spirit? All things are possible to them that are in Christ Jesus. All things work together for good to them that are called, that love God and are called according to his purpose. You're not called according to your purpose. You're called according to his purpose. Now what if he's called you to be rich? Some might say, oh, I like that. But if he's called you to be rich, he didn't call you to be rich so you can spend it on yourself. He called you to be rich so that you can help further the kingdom of God. Maybe he's called you to be poor. He didn't call you to be poor in yourself, but rich in his spirit, and rich in his love, and rich in his power. Brother Lawrence is traveling in Africa for the ministry in the Lord right now. And he's learning, but he's teaching. He's learning and teaching. He's learning what I've been talking about. And when you step out in faith and you step out to do that which glorifies Him, God meets you in that moment and meets you in that place. And He's in a land that has probably never seen the true power of God nor heard the true word of the gospel. Because the missionaries that went there didn't go to set them free, but to make them slaves unto themselves. I want you that are listening in Africa, and if you're listening in India or wherever you are, you don't have to look to America for your provisions. You look to Jesus Christ. You look to God, and He can work miracles and perform miracles in your life that people will be amazed at. Amen. He can multiply food. He can make wells spring out of rocks. If you're willing to take your faith that He gave you and put it in Him and not in governments or organizations or man or the world. I don't want people to put their faith in me. Though my ministry has been full of the blessings of God and the power of God. And will continue to be. Because I choose to mind the things of the Spirit and not the things of the flesh. How do you think I put up with some of you? Because I don't mind the things of the flesh. My flesh does. Oh, my flesh says some mean things sometimes. But my spirit says, now. Let the grace of the Lord work with them as it does with you. And I say amen. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. For they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Can't do it. So why try? Why waste your time? Why waste your effort? Spend your time rather seeking those things that are above and believing God and let Him worry about the rest of it. Amen. Amen. Let Him worry about the pimple on your nose. You don't have to. You can't see it anyway as long as you stay away from the mirror. Don't look in the mirror. You don't have to see it. Amen. But everybody else does. So aren't they lucky? If they were looking in the spirit, they wouldn't see that pimple anyway. They'd see that person that Christ has formed and is forming and is going to raise up in glory and His name. Faith is a gift from God. It has one purpose. One lawful purpose. and that is to believe God in all things. When you are confronted with someone who is ill, and the thought hits you, I'm not worthy, that's carnally minded. That's carnally minded. But when you say, I am worthy through Christ, who shed his blood for me and died on the cross and has given me a new life in him and through his spirit, I am worthy, therefore be thou healed. And use that faith to believe God, and it has to come to pass. If you're a believer, you got to use that faith for yourself. Oh, it's easy to go out on the highways and byways or go set up a revival tent and pray for people and see God move and see God heal them. It's easy. The hardest place to see God move is in the church. It's in the church. Because the church is carnal. And it's time it stops being carnal. I can't speak for those churches out there, but I can speak for this one right here. Turn loose of the carnal mind and start looking with the mind of Christ. I'm done.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. Dear Lord, we thank you. We've had many words today, many things to touch all of our lives and hearts. And I just pray, Father, that we have the strength to pray to you, Lord, each individually, and ask you to restore our faith. Let us receive back all that faith that has been put in anything else other than you, so that we can be with you, Lord, so that we can be yours, so that we have the strength. In Jesus' name, amen.